Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Two Dudes Talking Motorcycle Podcast. My name is Mitch. Gleb is not here. If most of you are going to be listening on over audio, it is just me for this one. So, yeah, welcome back. I think we're back on our regular schedule. This summer's just been crazy for everybody. Gleb and our friend Emerson, they're currently on a BDR trip in Idaho, and they're coming back today, so I wish I could have gone, but, you know, it is what it is. So, yeah. This will be a short one since I've had to do it on my own for this one. And, yeah, again, the summer's been nuts, but we're doing all right with it. So, yeah. And I just had some ideas of what I want to do for the rest of the riding season. Like, that's within my budget. That's just always our what we got to do. So, yeah. But for this episode, I did get a chance to actually go test ride some bikes again, and it's just been forever since I've been able to do that. And it was a good time. I got to ride bikes that one I would like to have for the type of riding that I do, if money was no object. So, just talk about what I've done before, and then maybe just gush a little bit over things that I've bought for my bike. So, but yeah, the very first one that I got to ride, the motorcycle that I got to ride, is a test drive at Eurosports Utah down there while I was getting my brake flush done finally. So it actually looks nice and clean now in that reservoir up front. So yeah, make sure your brakes don't have sediment sitting in them somehow. But yeah, oh well. Anyway, the first bike that I got to ride was the Husqvarna Norden 901. We've talked about that bike before. Our friend Emerson has the KTM 890 Adventure, which is essentially, it's the same bike. They're literally the same motorcycle. So, but I finally got to test it out, and I personally like how the Norden looks compared to the KTM. And the one I rode was not the Expedition. It was just the standard one. And it was a nice little tractor, like definitely like smaller, obviously. It's on an engine than my bike. It's the 901 is an 889cc parallel twin. And it has, actually, I don't know if it's a parallel twin. I can't remember, but it's a 890cc, a two-cylinder liquid-cooled, and yeah, produces 105 horsepower at 8,000 RPM with 74 foot-pounds of torque at 6,500 RPM, and first thing off the bat, I noticed the power difference. Again, that's just what it is. But the bike is lighter than my Scrambler. It felt really good. Just took it for a very short spin. I tried out the street road, the off-road mode. I just went to a little parking lot, and I was just doing some like balancing and test slow speed stuff, just feeling it. And that low center of gravity, because if you see that bike, it's got the low gas tank on it too, so your center of gravity is so low that you just feel really good. I had a good time on it. It was fun. If that was an adventure bike that I would get, I personally think I want to test ride the Expedition, the Norden 901 Expedition next. So one, I can feel the difference on them. Cause I think if I was to get like a committed adventure bike, like that way I could keep babying my Scrambler. I don't want to get too banged up. So I want to try both of them. I'd have to do some adjustments. You just got to do that with every bike. So I enjoyed it for the most part. And honestly, those things are so cheap too. Like the one they were selling there was, I think it was $10,500 for it. So like, and it was a used one. I think it was a 23 or 24, but it had like 1,800 miles on it. There was nothing to it. So yeah, I would. If you're looking at it for an adventure bike and you don't want to break the bank, then Norden would be a good one to go check out. It's a contender, especially if I'm in a better spot one day down the road to get another motorcycle, then it's a contender, especially if I don't want to spend a bunch of money on it. So, hopefully one day we will get to test ride that, the Norden Expedition, because that one's pretty sweet. That one's got the giant KYB off-road suspension on it. It's nuts. It's a gnarly one. But, yeah, it was a good time. So, it's really weird that no one else is here to comment on that. I'm just talking to myself. So, but anyway, the next bike is on the opposite end of the spectrum for adventure bikes, and that was the Ducati Desert X Rally. So me and Gleb both have ridden the Desert X. We loved it. It was a really fun bike. But then the Desert X comes out, and they have a demo down there as well too. And I got to say, that was very tempting. The rally was so comfortable, super fun, just tons of power. That thing was, where'd it go? I had it up here. So the Ducati Desert X Rally. So it's got bigger suspension. It's got the front, high-end mudguard on there, and it looks like an actual rally bike this time. It's got a nice touring windscreen on it. Not that the other one doesn't look like it, but this one, it's got like nice appeal, nice paint job and all that stuff. And that thing was a blast. I think that was probably like my favorite one to ride, but the rally, and you're looking at the price range of like into the 30K. So it was a harsh contrast to like ride the Norden and then jump directly onto the Desert X Rally. It was, it was a good time, but, and it's so responsive and flickable. And like for how big that bike is, that was the one note I had for it, is like, this thing is incredibly light for how big it is. So whatever Ducati's doing, they've got it figured out. Especially on the desert bikes. They're really good. And just a refresher for this podcast, on the Ducati Desert X, on this rally, it's got the engine, the Tessa Stretta 11-degree L-twin, Desmodramatic valve train, liquid cool. It's 110 horsepower at 9250 RPM, and you're feeling the, like, obviously not all the 110 horsepower, but you feel that engine just want to go. It's just aggressive. It's an angry bike, but it was a lot of fun. But along with that engine, you're getting 68 foot-pounds of torque at 6,500 RPM. And that really nice, like, cushy suspension they got on there as a fully adjustable KYB 48 millimeters, and which, you know, if you know adventure bikes or off-road suspension and versus like road bikes or more standard ones, these things are just huge, and they look awesome. They're very comfortable. Yeah. It was just a wonderful time on that thing, especially when you throw it into sport mode or like the off-road mode that they have for it. I really can't recommend it enough. It was a good time. So yeah. And then lastly, until I got my bike back, where were we at with that one? Let's see here. Oh yeah, the last one I got to ride was another Ducati, not an adventure bike. This is the Panigale V2S, the 2025 model. And if you've listened to the episode, it's been a while ago that we talked about it, but we did get to ride the Panigale V4S a while back, and we loved it. It was a great bike. It was a lot of fun, but you know, we never really truly got it into fourth gear. It was one of those. It was just a powerhouse of a bike. And so you're on a public road. Yes, you can have some fun with it, but me personally, I don't really go very fast, especially on public roads, or I try. So the V4S was just a little too big for road for me, in my opinion. Amazing bike, but it's just something that wants to go. And now, so after having ridden that, jumping onto the V2S, I really loved it. It was spot on perfect for like a sport bike or like a road bike like that. super peppy, very fast, flickable, and you're so down low and you're in an aggressive seating position on it, and it's just fun. I just can't, yeah. I'm so used to these big, tall bikes, and they're heavy, and then I get it to jump on like a really nice, tiny little sport bike and just rip on it, and it's just, yeah, that was a lot of fun. I forgot the price on that one. I wonder if I still have that up, but if I can find that, what was, let's see, where was it? Yeah. So this is for the 2025 model. If you guys ever learned about it, they moved the Panigale to the double swing arm. I know a bunch of people didn't like that. And yeah, the single swing arm looks cool, but from what I'm hearing is that it's going to be better performance. It's a little lighter. I can't speak too much to that, but because I haven't ridden the other ones. But yeah, I had a really good time on it. It was a great bike. You throw it in different riding modes on there. And that one's on an 890cc V2. And I didn't grab the specs on that one, but it was, it's just a lot of fun. Torque, 69 foot pounds of torque, on there, and then can spit out 120 horsepower at 10,750 RPM. So, and yeah, you can just like, you have power throughout the entire rev range, obviously, but what was so cool about it is that I'm on this bike that that's like the V4S, but now I can actually flip through all the gears. I can, get a little more lively with it without getting too far into getting in over my head. Yeah, it was awesome bike. I really just can't say anything bad about it. And I was like, maybe I should get a sport bike. But then I got back to the shop to pick up my bike and my back and shoulders were hurting. So that's just my life now with that. But yeah, just really good, really good bike. I cannot recommend that one enough. Just good. Yeah. So, but yeah, those were the bikes that I got to ride, and these segments go a lot quicker when you don't have anyone to get off topic with. But, yeah, like I said, Gleb and Emerson, they're up in Idaho. I believe they're heading back today. I've talked to Gleb. They are currently alive last I've checked in. So, we'll have to have Gleb talk about the experiences on there. So it sounds like they had an adventure. It sounds like some rain, some drops, but very beautiful up there. Hitting up the Idaho BDR is definitely going to be something I have to try when I get a little better at off-roading myself. So yeah, it was a really good one, but, yeah, especially if I was to have like a Norton on that thing, not that the Scrambler couldn't do it, but I just, I don't know, maybe I'll try it with the Scrambler. Who cares? Getting enough little trinkets and doodads on my bike lately. And the, actually, that's something I did do. I did buy some accessories for my quad lock, mount for my phone. I'm going to try and move it. So on my bike, I have like the touring screen on the Scrambler, the one from Triumphs that has that little crossbar on it where you mount the actual screen to. And so I'm going to try moving my phone mount up above my dash, and just so it's up there, so I don't have to like look down at my phone like for directions or whatever. I can just hit it right in front of me. So hopefully that'll work with it. And I also got a cable with like the battery rings, so I can connect this cable directly to my battery, run it up to the mount, so long as that's long enough to have the full range, because my headlight and the whole everything turns with my handlebars, so I just got to make sure the range is that I have full maneuverability still on my handlebars. But it's a quad lock specific USB thing, so it mounts onto the mount. It's underneath the mount under the vibration dampener if you have a quad lock. And yeah, so it's just gonna be a good way to charge my phone, because it's something I didn't consider when we did our California trip. And when I did like my own little overnight camping thing with Gleb, and I took my bike just to try out my new Moscow Moto bag, and yeah, my phone was pretty dead, and it wasn't a far or wasn't a long ride or anything like that, but it was my music did die like when I saw like 20 minutes left of my ride, which it is what it is. Like, I don't necessarily need the music, but you know, it's going to be nice to have it charged, especially once I can go out and adventure again, and if I get lost or something. So yeah, it'll just be good. Just trying to make some small improvements on my bike, just keeping that theme going for the rest of the year, probably. So yeah, I honestly forgotten what else I need to get for it other than like a luggage thing to keep the bags off the pipe. So yeah. I will say it's been a little strange seeing friends go on this writing adventure that I just couldn't go on, seeing their posts and stuff from it. And yeah, it looks like a good time. But it got me like thinking like, I need to do a motorcycle trip this year. Not just like a little overnighter. I can need to do like a 2 or 3 day trip. And I was just thinking, oh, let's just do it in my budget. I can find a way to make that fit, to make just some, even a small trip work. And I was just thinking, like, it's like, I've ridden all over Utah, since that's just where we live, but, there are still some roads I haven't been on, and I've just been thinking I can easily just fit in another trip, squeeze out for a couple days. So I just started looking them up, and I honestly just forgot or didn't consider these roads. But if you're in Utah or near Utah, or you're coming to Utah and you have access to a motorcycle, or you're coming in on one, I mean, these are all over the state, so it really depends where. But ones I have not done yet, I would like to ride Highway 9 through Zion. It's just if you don't know what Zion's National Park is, just look it up. Gorgeous park, beautiful red rocks. It's a desert. It's really pretty. And the roads can just take you through something very scenic. And yeah, so that's just something I've wanted to do. The thing with going through Zion National Park, however, is traffic is always going to be a bitch. I don't think there's really an off season for Zion now, but I don't know. It'd be even fun to hit it sometime. Maybe before or after the crowds leave, but we'll see. Because I don't want to ride design and sit in traffic on my bike, especially not in southern Utah. That's just going to be too hot. But yeah, I think that would be a good one. This one showed up, of course, because it is very popular, but we have the Grand Staircase Escalante, which me and Gleb did ride. We rode down to Capitol Reef Park, and then we rode from Torrey through Dixie and then like, and around up through the Grand Escalante Staircase to the Hogback. I'd have no problems going back to like Bryce Canyon or the Grand Staircase and Capitol Reef. Those were beautiful places. So I don't know if you're nearby or you just need to get away for a bit and just ride your bike. If you're now down south a little bit, mid south, I guess, for Utah. But yeah, Grand Staircase Escalante, I would definitely do that one again. Other ones that I need to do or would like to do, Flaming Gorge. I honestly don't know too much about Flaming Gorge. I live here. I don't know why I've heard of it, but I need to look it up. I've been hearing that can be a nice like, little twisty road, very scenic. So yeah, just some ideas that I'm going to try and get out for the rest of the summer or into the fall as it starts to cool down. Yeah, but then the one that I'm actually probably going to really try to do, just because I've never been up to it, but the Mount Nebo. I can't remember how long that one is, but it's just take a day or something, just ride out through it. It's supposed to take you through like some desert-ish looking spots, but then it takes you up into the woods and it's just be a very nice scenic ride. And maybe just turn it into a little camping trip. I don't need to necessarily do off-roading, but if there's options up there, then I would see if they're in my skill set for now. But, yeah. And then I've driven my car up American Fork. Sorry, I had to suppress a little sneeze there, but, I've ridden up American Fork Canyon in my car. I have not been on my bike up there yet. And that will connect you to the Alpine Loop. Again, that's just very pretty stuff to just get out and go experience. So yeah, that's pretty much what we had. So Yeah, just got to make it work. You know, it's I didn't get to ride this weekend, and I've noticed it because I've injured my neck a bit. So I can't really turn my head like super well. That's not a good combination. I need to be able to look around when you're out riding. So yeah, it's just like, well, I'm getting that itch. Let's get back on it. This is what's been going on. Hopefully everyone of you guys have been doing well. Sorry, this will be a short episode. We want to stay on our schedule and get back on track. Now that summer will hopefully be winding down a little bit, schedules will free up from there. But, I think the next episode, Gleb's going to have to talk, about the BDR trip there. And yeah, I can't really talk too much from all the, I'll let him go over everything. I want him to give the experience and not just talk about secondhand from me. So, but yeah, anyway, guys, thanks for listening again. Apologize for the short one, but we will be back to talk at you another time and bring you more history, more bike stuff. So yeah, I hope everyone is doing okay. Oh, actually, oh no, wait, I don't want to leave just yet, you guys. We have mail. I forgot about our mail. Once we can find it. But I think, oh yeah, Don. Don, as always, from out in Washington, he's sending beautiful pictures. I totally forgot about our mail. So Don, you got good afternoon from the Pacific Northwest. The snow has melted off in the high mountains, opening access to some of my favorite places to camp. Did an overnight camp out at a place called Twin Lakes. The road has four steep rocky hairpin switchbacks that test your ability. However, the views and the camping are worth the efforts. And yeah, it's just a gorgeous picture of this nice dirt road. Yeah, those hairpins are something that I would have to work on. Those can get a little intimidating. So, and then we had another one come in from Dawn. hey guys, thanks for the podcast. I enjoy every episode. Well, thank you. It's great hearing your experiences, thoughts, and even those ramblings. We do a lot of those, so we appreciate that it doesn't bore you. you recently mentioned riding to Idaho. Yep, they're there now. And I live just south of Idaho Falls. Yeah. Oh, we saw this one, but I don't think they were going to be up that way. And I don't know if we got back to you. I apologize for that, Doug. South of Idaho Falls. I'll have to see if they were up that way or not, because I didn't really take too much part in planning the trip once I was like, I don't think I can fit this in. So, no, hey, you know, down the road, if that offer still stands, perhaps. Or, that'd be awesome. Oh, you live close to Yellowstone, and nice. Well, cool. We appreciate that. That'd be maybe meet up for a ride sometime down the road. Who knows? But thank you, everybody. We really appreciate you. And we will see you for the next one. Anyway, take care, guys. Bye.